Hey everybody, it's Maylee Thomas and it's time for Texas Homegrown Music, and I've got an interesting show for you today. This guy, probably really, really well known around the DFW area in Texas, but he's also known all across the country and certainly in the blues artist category and abroad. He's done a lot of tours overseas. His name is Texas Slim, and he's a household name amongst musicians around here, that's for sure. I don't know of any of them that have ever had him in the audience where they just pull him up and say, come on, sit in on a song or two. He's that kind of guy. But he's an interesting cat. I think you're going to enjoy hearing from him. So we're going to bring him here in just a few minutes. But before we do, I'm going to do a song off one of my older records. I released a record way back in the early 90s called Rhythm of the Blues, and a lot more of a kind of blues genre feel to it. And this is a song called I Can Stand a Little Rain. So I hope you enjoy it. And when we come back, we'll be with Texas Slim. Texas Homegrown Music, and today I've got an interesting guest for you. For those of you that have been into blues music in Texas, you're going to know exactly who it is, and it's Texas Slim. Welcome.
Hi, Howdy.
I'm not even sure how to say this because I've been calling you Texas Slim for however long. And of course, just in the last week, I found out your name is actually Robert Sullivan.
Well, so, you know,
you're throwing me for a loop here.
The title to my newest CD is called That's Who I Am.
Okay.
Texas Slim, That's Who I Am.
All right. Well, then I'm just going to call you Texas Slim because that's what I've known you for a few decades, and I never even knew what your birth name was, but I understand that thanks to social media and Facebook,
sure,
you actually had to let that out there.
I did have to let that out.
So we'll talk about that here in a little bit.
Okay.
But, it's been an interesting ride for the last several years in Dallas and
mm-hmm.
in Texas, and
yeah.
I have watched you completely flourish in the blues scene and mm-hmm. in the rock scene as well, because
yeah.
I've known you from the early days of playing at Blue Cat Blues,
sure,
and that whole segue into Deep Ellum and mm-hmm. how music kind of changed down there from punk to rock to blues, but we've got venues down there that have held on for so many years.
Adairs, right.
Of course.
Adairs is still there.
All kinds of venues, Club Dada.
Sure.
And they've continued to have all kinds of music from blues especially, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to start out, though, for those of you that don't know who this guy is. I mean, he really is an icon in the Texas music scene, especially in Dallas-Fort Worth.
Well, thank
you. Why don't you talk to us about, you are a native Texan, born
yep.
in Dallas.
Yeah, Baylor Hospital.
Baylor Hospital.
Absolutely.
There you go. Why don't you talk to me about how you got started and your influences and what made you decide to go into playing blues music?
Well, let's see, how I got started. I got started playing music from my two older brothers.
Okay.
They both had rock bands in the 70s, and I would just tag along any way I could. And the tag-along thing really worked out great because I became very good at drums and bass
okay.
and keyboards and whatever instrument was available. Playing cover rock, mid-70s cover rock with a band called Double Shot.
Okay.
That was my older brother Brian, his band. And that really influenced me a lot because that gave me all the excitement of playing music. We've played, they had keg parties back then.
Right.
I couldn't play clubs in the mid-70s because I was too young and very little, so fake mustache wasn't going to work.
So they drug you around all the clubs and had you play, you were like whatever they needed.
In 75, I was 12. I was pretty much the bass player in the band, but there were times that the guitarist would not show up, and so we would get a bass player and let me play guitar. Or I'd end up playing drums on the gig if the drummer didn't make it.
Well, that's a nice way to start out, though.
Because yeah.
You obviously, for me, I would love it if I knew how to play all those instruments,
yeah.
Because I'd be able to actually, talk about what it is I really wanted out of a song.
Mm-hmm.
So when did you break from your brothers and start out on your own?
Well, during all that time, it just, everything was exploding. As far as my influences, I was starting to buy records. I had gotten the idea that you can like any music you want to. It doesn't have to be just the few songs that were on the radio then.
Right.
And that's kind of how I got into blues, really, just kind of experimenting. I was a big Johnny Winter fan.
Okay.
And I was like, well, who does he like? And I started listening to that, and it's like, wow, okay, this is all connected,
Well, I find it really interesting because I think our generation, and when I say that, you and I are in the same, we grew up in the 70s, 60, late 60s and 70s.
Mm-hmm.
I was in high school in the late 70s. So we were more influenced by what was played on the radio.
That's right.
And so it's so different now.
Yeah. Because, you know, you can do a search now. Everybody can do a search for a style or whatever, and everything just starts popping up.
Sure.
You know, we either had to go by what was being played on the radio and then kind of do our own research from there and buy records. I mean, you know, we went to the record store every week.
That's right.
And we just you know, looked through the titles and I feel like our influences were really pushed by what was being done in the big market.
That's right.
You know, we had
absolutely, we
had big name people that we were influenced by.
That's right.
Nowadays, I know, like my daughter and the millennials and all of that, they have more of a choice as to what they really want to.
That's right.
Dive into.
Yeah, yeah, because we didn't have videos. A lot of times you had never seen a picture of the artist that you're listening to if they had, you know, fancy psychedelic covers all the time, you know, like Savoy Brown album covers. You know, you never saw what they looked like.
Well, and you know, I can tell you this, I was influenced greatly by what the album cover looked like.
Sure.
You know?
Oh, yeah, you can be, oh, this record's going to be good.
Well, you know, the Eat a Peach was I just thought that was such a cool album.
Fabulous.
Cover, right?
Yeah.
But it's so different now. And it's interesting to me because I always want to know, how was it that you decided to listen to the type of music that you did when you were young?
I got to say this. My mother is the greatest influence ever because she let me do what I wanted to do in terms of.
So you didn't have the parents that said, turn that stuff off.
No, well, first of all, she had been through it with my other two brothers, so she kind of just knew it was coming. But I had more of an interest. I guess, kind of a loner kid. I like to play by myself. I like to organize my toys instead of just wreck them.
Okay.
And I was kind of that, you know, OCD kind of kid.
Okay.
But it made me sort of studious on the things that I was interested in.
Well, that's good.
My mom always noted that I made poor grades in subjects that I was not.
That you weren't interested.
That I wasn't interested. And I made 100 if I was interested.
Right. I think most people are actually, you know, geared that way anyway.
Sure.
But so blues was, because I'm assuming that is your genre.
Absolutely.
So blues, did you find yourself really navigating towards that? Because when we were growing up, the blues artists were that were coming on the scene, you know, a lot of Texas artists for sure. How did you get introduced to that? Because I don't know that that's really what you were playing for the keg parties.
Right, exactly. It was the stuff like the Johnny Winter and the ZZ Top, the stuff that really is
probably more rock. I mean, obviously blues influence, but
it was considered rock, but it's really blues.
Yeah.
Of course, now I see a big blues. I see almost all music is blues.
Well, we'll come back to that, because I think that there's an underlying story there about how a lot of people don't realize that they were influenced by blues artists because who that particular artist covered.
Right.
So we're going to start out playing a song of yours called And It Is. You want to give me a little background on that?
Yes. This is a song that's it's kind of a very personal song. I wrote it in my head like I do a lot, driving home from Paris, Texas in the middle of the night, and I saw a shooting star and I wrote a song in my head. And it's not, this isn't a dance number, so I can't play it at every club gig because people just, you know, they want to dance and boogie. This is very an emotional song. I'm real proud of what I did on it. I play organ, dobro, and two or three electric guitar tracks.
Cool. Well, if you're just listening, it's Texas Slim on Texas Homegrown Music, and we're going to play And It Is. When we come back, we're going to talk about some more influences in his life and where he's going today. So we'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.
and Texas Slim here, and while we were off, their phone was dinging from Wanda King, and I was talking about Freddie King.
That's right. Well, I grew up in Northwest Dallas, and Thomas Jefferson was my home high school. That's also where Wanda King graduated. And so around junior high, I got wind that Freddie King lived nearby, bike ride, right up my sober. So me and a couple of my friends did that, and we did it a few times. Just go over there and stop and point at the house. Oh, Freddie King lives there. Can you believe that? Right here in Dallas. This is crazy. And of course, I became a huge fan of his music. And I, in 1986, well, first of all, I should say, I never met Freddie King because I was 13 years old. But I met many of the family members. In 1986, Freddie King Jr. was my full-time bass player. And that led me into going to their house and actually going inside and meeting everybody. And it's great. I mean, I feel like a member of COVID first started, about 2 weeks in, I received a text from Freddie King. I mean, I can just cry looking at that. Thank you, Wanda. I got to know the family around, I think about 1999, 2000, Wanda decided that she wanted to come out and start singing. And she's wonderful, and I'm so honored. She has 3 CDs, all of which I play all over the CDs, and get together and write the songs. You know, she'll have her words, and I'll be like, well, you can have this chord or this chord. Which one do you like better? You know? So it's a real honor and pleasure to play with Wanda. And she's done so many things with the Freddie King Foundation, including putting on concerts, where I've been able to open for people like Bobby Bland, Hubert Sumlin, Johnny Winter, the biggest names.
What a great feeling for you know. In fact, I'm always asking people, and this is a little bit off subject because I do want to hear a little bit more about that, but do you remember a moment in your career where you felt like, you really had arrived to a place that you didn't think you'd ever get to?
Yeah, I think I've had a bunch of those. I even have I call it a luck pattern.
Okay.
Every 5 years, something really big happens to me.
Okay.
It's just so big that I'm just, I just cry thinking that
happened. Tell me some of those moments.
I've gotten to do a TV commercial, a big time TV commercial for Famous Dave's. Okay. I got that from opening for Johnny Winter.
Okay.
And we got the commercial because we were good. They, I don't know if I should tell this story or not. They actually were there to hear Johnny Winter.
Okay.
And get him for the commercial. But they didn't know that he couldn't stand.
Okay.
And they were like, okay, commercial requires 1 day, 16 hours standing. So they were like, we can't do Johnny at all. So they literally, they were at the Granada Theater in Dallas, this concert. And the executives got on the plane the next morning and literally said, do you see that band that opened for Johnny? Oh my God, they were so good, and they were all dressed up and looked good. I think they can do the commercial. And I literally got an email going, hey, this is serious. You need to call this SAG agent immediately.
That's cool.
And it turned into something really big, like a year and a half contract where we were flown first class all around the country and limoed everywhere. And
well, that's got great. To be well, kind that, of that's a, definitely one of those moments.
Yeah, that was a really, really big one.
And it's got to be a big deal for you to have traveled and toured overseas and still doing it.
Yes.
Playing gigs overseas. I know you said you spent a lot of time in Italy.
Yes, I do. My Europe thing started. I was touring with a fantastic artist, Miss E.C. Scott.
Okay.
And she got a tour in Europe in 2009. And I had just released a CD, and it got picked up in Belgium. So all these things happened at once.
Together.
So when I went over there to tour with her, I ended up with my own shows as well.
That's cool.
And so I had my own set on every show that we played, and then had some of my own shows. And in 2011, the agent contacted me and said, you're really easy to work with, and you bring a really good show. I want to start bringing you not just next year, but several times a year, as long as you're willing to
well,
do it.
Well, that's got to be so cool to go there. And I know that when you go overseas and you say you play blues and you're from Texas, mm-hmm. it's like people just come.
Yeah.
They want to hear what is it that's coming out of Texas. Because, you know, so many people know Stevie Ray Vaughan and,
that's
of course,
right.
the Kings, Albert
yeah.
and Freddie. Mm-hmm. So many great, iconic artists mm-hmm. from Texas. That it's just nice shoes to try to fill, right?
It is, and they're very enthusiastic. The way they listen is really incredible, because you might almost think
they're not interested.
Because they're really
listening, right?
And you know, if you play a last chord of a song and it rings, they will wait until it is gone
before they start,
and then and it's just so incredible that they always say, we know you're just a musician in America, but you're an artist here.
Wow, that's a cool thing.
Mm-hmm. You're an artist here.
I don't think I've heard that before.
It's a very respectable career over there. It's not kind of looked down on as like, oh, this is going to be a disaster. An art career is simply a choice you can
well,
make.
Well, I can tell you this. A lot of my friends that play music, it's the highlight for them, and they look forward to going overseas.
Mm-hmm.
And they have audiences that come back and follow them,
yeah.
too, you know, because we've got a lot of artists that'll go over there, and they'll go to Germany, and they'll go mm-hmm. to France, mm-hmm. they'll go to several different countries, and they'll see a lot of the same people. They'll actually fly from place to place and follow them there. So
yeah.
it's obviously a great gig, and I'm so glad that you're able to do that and continue to do that.
Yes, you probably are very aware, I tour with Zach Harmon Band now,
yeah.
and we go over there quite a bit.
Tell me some of the other artists that you've played with that are highlights for you. I know you and Tommy Catone have done some things together.
Yes.
I love Tommy.
Oh, I love Tommy. Artists that I've toured with include Miss E.C. Scott and Randy McAllister.
Okay.
And of course, Zach Harmon, who I'm still with.
And Zach is a great guy. We've had him here at the Guitar Sanctuary, and what a super, super sweet guy, and such a prolific player.
You know, I think this is really relevant to my career, because I never did it all myself all the time. That is to say, I've always taken time to help other artists. And when I was learning about blues in the 70s, that was a more typical role of a younger white guy. You would go join an experienced blues band. And so I've always been kind of that.
To take that to heart and help other people too.
Yeah, I do. I have my own career, but I love
helping other people.
I love helping other people.
That's what I'm all about. That's why I do this show, because I want people to hear about artists that are new coming on the scene, and some that have been doing it for years that haven't ever really been on any shows like this. And I'd like people to find out who they are. Well, we're going to play another song of yours called Welcome to the Game. You want to tell me about that?
Yes. This is also from my Driving Blues CD. It's the CD that came out in Belgium in 2005, I believe it was.
And all of this is on Spotify, of course.
Yes, it is on Spotify and iTunes and
Apple Music.
Yeah. I'm out of physical product.
Well, nowadays it's like people are just downloading.
Yeah.
But Welcome to the Game. Does it have any specific?
Well, Welcome to the Game. First of all, I want to say this. The album Driving Blues is basically just me and my friend Aaron Comas.
Okay.
Aaron Comas is the drummer of the Spin Doctors.
Okay.
Probably one of the most high-profile musicians in the world, even right now.
And so he's on this album.
He's on the album. He plays drums and bass on every cut, and when I first went up there to do these sessions, I was just so amazed by how professional he was, and I would see him doing all the tech stuff. So I called it Welcome to the Game, because he was just so good at the game. You know, he would be mixing a song over here, flirting with a girl over here, and you know, I was just so impressed. So Welcome to the Game is about welcome to all this technology.
Well, that's what we're going to do. We're going to do Welcome to the Game, and then he's going to come back and do a song for us called Lucky Mojo. So you guys are in for a treat. We're gonna let him do it from his living room in his house or
wherever
it is.
That's right.
And let you guys go in and be a part of his personal life there.
Technically, it's Texas Slim World Headquarters.
There you go. So I just want to say thanks a lot for doing the show today. I appreciate
my pleasure.
You so much. And I've known you for a long time. Didn't know your name was Robert Sullivan, but I'm sorry. I'm going to continue to call you Texas Slim.
Please do. That's who I am.
And thank you so much for continuing to bring Texas great music. Love you, brother.
Love you,
too. We'll see you soon. But we'll be right back. But we're going to play right now Welcome to the Game, and then don't forget, he's coming back to do Lucky Mojo.
So here we are again on Texas Homegrown Music with my guest, Texas Slim. And he's going to do a song for us acoustic right out of his living room. And I really appreciate you doing this, Slim. It's a song that he released about a decade ago. It's the title track of the album called Lucky Mojo. So sit back and relax and enjoy this acoustic version of Lucky Mojo from Texas Slim. Enjoy that show like I always do. I just love doing these Texas Homegrown Music interviews and learning about these artists that more than I can read on a liner note or Google search. I like to hear stories from them and, you know, the things that drive them and keep them pursuing music and loving life and doing this kind of work, because you got to love it to do it. It's sometimes very difficult. And I know a lot of people out there don't have any idea what it's like to try to survive playing music. It's such a small percentage of them that make big money. But the ones that seem to really, I seem to gravitate to are the ones that don't necessarily make a ton of money at it, but they just really put out some great music. And he's just one of them, as well as my guest next week. So you guys tune back in. I'm going to have Sean Pittman in next week, and he's another really good blues player and somebody that I think you're going to be interested in hearing about. He's got quite a little history, from playing with Susan Tedeschi to all kinds of stuff that he's done. And so I'm really looking forward to that interview. So I hope you'll tune in, and I want to say thanks again to the Guitar Sanctuary and Tupps Brewery for making these shows even possible, so you can hear just the story behind the music. Remember to love life. You get out of it what you put into it. Peace out, everybody, and we'll see you next time.